So I'm Toby. I think the first time I came here was sometime in 2017, sometime after August. So because I was picked up by a homeless ministry on the street in August 4th of 2017. And that's when Bob Worley, Gonzalee Martin, who is the pastor of this church, Mick Lamont, I don't know if there was anybody else involved, but they had a recovery place called the Catalpa Street Center, and that was the first place I was ever in to start my journey towards sobriety. I know I just spoke recently, but I'm up here because this is probably my last chance to ever speak in front of you guys, because I'm moving away and I'm going to be working on Mondays. So after this many years, this is my last time being here. This church is very special to me. I got married right there. I'm going to cry because I'm a sissy. I'm more emotional over this than when I announced to everybody at my house that I was quitting my job and stuff. I'm currently the manager of the 13 Step House, and I have 42 guys, and it was only because of the beginning, you know, of coming into recovery. It's like if you went back and asked somebody about me and tell them what I did today, they would call you a liar. You could not convince them. I was not a very good person, and I think I've told you guys that before. I've been in jail multiple times in multiple states. And it wasn't until I came to that when somebody showed me the love of Christ, and they were perfect strangers, you know, and I'd never felt anything like that from anybody, you know. I had the love of my mom, but, you know, I also blamed her for a lot of things that went on in my life. I know she wasn't at fault for them now. I know the person that did the bad things to me, I don't know what made him a sick individual to be like that, you know, to want to beat his kid and tell him they're bad. Maybe he got the same thing, so I forgive him. That was the key for me, was forgiving people that I thought had wronged me and stuff. I was in the Catalpa Street Center, and they gave it to the Hobson House, and needless to say, I didn't like that. So, and it's all about me. So I got high, and I got kicked out of there. Wound up going to the 13 Step House, and I thought the brilliant thing would be to get a girlfriend. And we know how that works. I'm sure you've all had boyfriends and girlfriends in recovery. It doesn't work out at all, right? Now I manage a place, and I see the guys doing it. I see the guys, first thing they do is get on Facebook, and they're hooting and hollering at chicks. And I know the ending of the story, you know, because I lived it. I got booted out of that house. And I was out for 30 days, and I knew, because of the Catalpa Street Center and learning about God and finding a power greater than me, right? When I looked at the AA book and I look at the Bible, there's some similarities, and I believe the AA book is like hitting around and giving you cues to a God, right? And I picked the God of love and understanding, and there was nothing I could do that would ever take his love away from me, and it just happens to be the real God, you know, the one that son was Jesus Christ. You know, that's what I believe firmly. And after I came to that knowledge, my life has changed so much and so fast, and it's a miracle. So I don't have very good numbers, but all of these are a miracle, right? I've been sober for 3 years and 6.2 months. That's 43.54 months, 1,324 days, 31,793 hours. And each and every one of them are because Jesus guides me now. I wake up every morning and I ask him to guide me in my daily adventure, you know. And I've been doing it long enough. The first time I spoke here, I was trying to speak on salvation, and I don't even know if I got it right, because it was quite a while ago. I've learned a lot since then, let me say. But the key to salvation is confessing your sins and taking Jesus Christ into your heart. Just in case you guys want to know, and you want to do it later, you can get with anybody in this ministry, and we'll show you how to do it. But anyway, after you do that, and after you ask Him to guide you, your life will change undeniably, and it's awesome. I used to look back and see where God did stuff in my life, like the car wreck I didn't die in, the drug overdoses that I lived through, all the bad situations with weapons and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Every one of them is where God saved me. He stepped in and intervened because I lived to be 45 and start getting my recovery. And now I see it in real time when it's happening. I once spoke on what faith was to me, and I compared it to courage. Courage is, you might be scared, but you're going to do it anyway. You rise above the fear, and you just do it, because that's what you're supposed to do. So I thought faith had a little bit of doubt in it, you know. So now I've learned to have total faith is to have no doubt. You know, I thought there was a hint of doubt, but there's no doubt, right? The stuff that has happened to me lately, the reason why I'm moving on, because they're all signs from God. And I get signs through numbers. I get signs through what people say. I've never had God tell me anything except one time He did tell me that I had 33 years left on this planet. So I'm pretty sure I'm kicking the bucket when I'm 79. But who knows? I already had a heart attack when I was 48. And I knew God had me during that. You know, I was never scared. I was never worried because I don't have to do any of that anymore. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be scared because I have the God, you know, that conquers all that. He conquers fear. He conquers worry. He conquers misery. There's nothing that I know is from Him that doesn't happen. I don't know if it's like being cocky. I'm not cocky, but I know stuff now. I know when something's going to happen. I've seen the sign, right? Like, I filled out a job application for Walmart DC because I was thinking I'm a different person now, and I'm not about myself. I'm about others, and I've got married recently. And the old me would have been like, she has to do whatever I say. You know, that's why I probably would have never been married. Because not a lot of you guys are willing to do that. At least not for long. Once the sugar coating comes off and you have to live with each other, that's a different story, right? So I'm a different person now. And I treat people with respect. I treat my wife with the utmost respect. I apologize as quick as I possibly can, even when it's not something I did wrong, because I would have never did anything like that before. So I was thinking, she's a truck driver out of Gas City, and I was like, one day, like, a thought came to me. I should probably try to get a job down in Gas City, just so when she doesn't have to sleep in her semi, she could sleep at home. You know, we could buy a house down there and have the picket fence and two cars in the garage and all this, you know, the American dream, which I never thought. I thought I would die under a bridge.
Is Gas City a
town? You know?
Huh? Is Gas City a town?
It's a town by Marion, Indiana.
That's the name of it?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Gas City.
Yep.
Not because everybody eats beans either. But so I did. I applied at this job. And then when I got off the website, it said they were having a job fair on August 18th, which just happens to be 1 year from me and my wife's first date. So that was a sign to me that I was going to get that job. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get this job. I said, oh, by the way, I applied somewhere, and I'm going to wind up getting this job, and we're going to get a house in Gas City. And I told her exactly how it was going to happen a month before it happened, you know. And so I went to a job interview, And there was 500 people applying for 15 jobs probably. And everybody told me, you don't get worried, everybody gets denied their first time. And since I'm a new creation and a different person, I'm extremely honest now, and I try not to lie at all. So I only put one job, and that's the job I have now in my job references, because I can't even think of all the jobs I had. I less put them in order, you know, and the dates and stuff. I don't know. So she asked me that. She said, why do you only have one job thing down here? And I said, because that's where you need to start. I said, before that, I was a different person. I was in addiction. I was a troublemaker. I said, but if you call about this job that I have now, I've never been late. I've never missed a day. And I said, but if you want to know about my past, I said, think of the worst employee you've ever had in your life. And then I was worse. I said, if I did show up, I was 4 hours late, and I was probably hungover or drunk. I drank on company property, got high on company time. I stole things. And she's like, okay, I want to send you for a second interview. I'm like, she had to have called this guy. She's like, you got to listen to this dude. And I went in and I told them the same story. And they said, we'd like to offer you a job. And it was crazy, right? It's So I got the job that I knew I was going to get because it was on my anniversary, our date-iversary, right? So I knew it was going to happen, but before that I told her we should start looking for houses and we should get pre-qualified because I'm going to get this job that I just applied for, so we're going to have somewhere to live, and she thought I was nuts. And I don't know why she would think that. There's been many. So once I had a heart attack, and I don't know if any of you have heard this before, but I told her that we weren't going to have any bills from this heart attack. And then had a heart surgery, and it was $300-some thousand. And God picked up everything, and we actually made $30,000 on it. So we didn't have a bill. And
you made $30,000?
Made $30,000 because she had some kind of Aflac stuff on me, and it gave you $20,000 for having a heart attack and $20,000 for having a surgery.
Paid you that much?
And her insurance picked up everything except $10,000. So out of 40, we made 30, which, you know, I knew that God was going to cover it because I'm a sparrow. Who asked me that? The sparrow. I'm a sparrow. And guess what? All you guys are sparrows too, right? It says in the Bible that a sparrow doesn't reap, it doesn't sow, it doesn't store stuff up in a barn, it doesn't punch in a clock. Everything's provided. God provides everything. And when I came in this and I'm trying to improve my life, God officially made me a sparrow. And I don't have to do anything. He does everything for me. Every door I've knocked at is open, just like it says in the book. Everything I've tried, He's went in front of me and made sure the path was clear. I mean, the heart attack, the getting the job, and then we're looking for houses. And there's a house that has some of our numbers in it. I said, that's where we're going to be living. Well, that's on the 30th, we should be signing for that house. You know, and this, and it's all because of God. You know, all because this is what He wants for me. This is what He wants for all of us. He wants, like Jeremiah 29:11, not to harm us, but to give us a future and prosperity. And once you, I have that etched on my heart, right? Because God reads my heart, and my heart is full of Bible verses that mean a lot of things to me. There's some from Job. There, of course, John 3:16, but Jeremiah 11. Has been the one that was promised to me and has come through. And it's not even over yet, right? I've only been in it for 31,000 something hours, you know? So I got a lot more hours until my 33 years is up on this planet, right? And I want to do something with them. I want to, you know, the things that God's done in my life, if I could just like, you know, the movies where they touch you and you can see all their visions. If you could see what happened to me and the things I've lived in the past 31,793 hours, you would want it too, you know? And that's why God does this to us. He does it. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's people that were always good, and there's people that become good, hopefully. There's bad people, too, that stay bad. I'm a lost sheep, and most of us are lost sheep in here. We've all had to be rescued by God to get us here to where we're at today. And that's why my license plate says left the 99, because he left 99 good people to come find my sorry butt out in the middle of the field, you know. And he did it, you know, and he's did it to all you guys. You're here right now in this moment. And there is not a coincidence in that. You're here for a specific reason. I hope that you find out what it is. I mean, everybody has a testimony, and especially ours. Ours that we've lived that rugged, rough life. We've had the pain, the misery, the ups and the downs. And our job is, when we turn our life around, to tell everybody about it. That's why I wanted to come up here and talk. That's why I've talked up here several times. Because the things God's done in my life, everybody should want that. You know, I'm not special. I'm not the only one this has happened to. There's hundreds and thousands of people every day that probably give their life to Christ, and things start happening in their world. Yeah. You know, and it's just been the most joyous, worry-free, painless journey. All the things I've been through. Somebody said, why doesn't anybody have problems? How's come every time I ask somebody, they say I'm doing good? And I said, well, maybe they have a different outlook on what a problem is today. I have a very different outlook on something that is supposed to be a hardship, or something that I'm supposed to fail at or get knocked down for, because I look at it as an opportunity to persevere. Everything's a lesson. What got me into recovery is my heart was broken, and I was gonna stay sober for a year to get that girl back. And it doesn't matter what brought me into recovery, it's how I left. Because it didn't work out that way. You know, but I'm sober. And I've been sober, and I'm worry-free. And I hope every one of you keep coming back here. I hope you guys, if you're in a 12-step program, that you work that 12-step program to the best of your ability. That when you're looking for that God of your understanding, I hope you find the God I listen to, the God I pray to. I've had a couple people say God doesn't answer their prayers. And God always answers every prayer. Sometimes that answer is no. People can't face that. That's them wanting something, right? I don't pray for anything specific. I've never said, I want a house down in Gas City. You know, Father, make it come true. That's not how it worked. You know, I said, you know what I need, and it happened. God also says, wait. You know, it's his timing. That was the hard one that I had to learn. And when I learned that I should be happy in the middle of a storm, that's what I did. I read scripture. I listened to like the Eye of the Storm, all the bad You're Having Problems songs, Christian music. That's all I listen to now. And it got me through that storm. And now I'm a way better guy for it, you know. Don't take my word. Ask Carl. Carl said I used to not play well with others. I was quite a handful, because he met me when I was first in recovery. Back in that one house, he used to give us rides to the food bank and stuff. And I'm still a spaz, but I was a lot worse then. I was not very kind. Let me see how much time I've wasted. Not that much. So I have a couple of things from this Jesus is Calling that I like to read once in a while. I always try to read one when I'm up here. I don't know if any of you guys have this book. If you don't, I think I'll probably buy a bunch and bring up here. And any of you guys that want them, I'll leave with Gonzo Lee as my last thing for this, you know, this ministry and stuff, seeing how I've been in it for a while. But I've read a couple. I've read, like, circle the ones you like. Almost all of them are circled. So, but this is a daily thing. If you read it, it's like Jesus is saying this right to you. And some of these have hit me on the day that I read them. It's always exactly what I need to hear. And this one is what Jesus probably has said to all of us, and only a few of us have heard. So I hope you hear this eventually. It says, I have loved you with everlasting love. Before time began, I knew you. For years, you swam around in a sea of meaninglessness, searching for love, hoping for hope. All the time I was pursuing you, aching to embrace you in my compassionate arms. When the time was right, I revealed myself to you. I lifted you out of the sea of despair and set you down on a firm foundation. Sometimes you felt naked, exposed to my revealing light of the revealing light of my presence. I wrapped an ermine robe around you, my robe of righteousness. I sang you a love song whose beginning and end are veiled in eternity. I infused meaning into your mind and harmony into your heart. Join me in singing my song. Together we'll draw people out of the darkness and into my marvelous light. That is probably my favorite one, just because how many years was I swimming, you know, and fighting and trying to stay afloat, and everything I was doing was for naught. It was all meaningless because it was all self-induced stupidity and misery and greed and gluttony, and it went for so many years, you know, and if I turn away from what I'm doing now, it can be reinstated. You know, I could fall right back into that sea of despair and be right in the misery. And once you get in that, that's like the La Brea tar pit, right? You guys know what the La Brea tar pit is, right? It's got all the dinosaurs in it because they couldn't get out. They just kept sinking and they drowned. I don't want to sink and I don't want to drown. So I think of things often, and I go back to, like Jesus, he didn't sit in a mansion of gold. He walked the streets and he found the people. Sometimes they came to him, but most of the time he was looking for them. You know, he didn't sit in one place. He walked the land. He went to different towns. He knew his job and he did it well, right? It's the only reason I'm standing here today, but for the grace of God. You know, I have no business getting all these blessings. You know, if karma was a true thing, I'd be getting my butt kicked right now. You know, because I did some horrible stuff. And I know, at least I hope I'm not the only one that did some of the stuff. I hope some of you guys are with me. You know, am I just talking to a bunch of good people? No. But anyway, we get the glory of living two lives now, right? We did the down and dirty, and now we get to flip it around. We get to flip the script, right? We get to be good. And the good thing about it is we can be even better than the ones that were already good, because we already know where we can go. And we're always looking to improve. I look to improve something every day. I like to meet a new person every day. I like to learn a new fact every day. I like to annoy people every day. I kind of like to be annoyed sometimes. There's a limit to what I can take, right? But I just hope that someday a lot of you guys are standing up here with your, dang it, I lost my page, with your Jesus is Calling, and you let us know what your testimony is, because they're all recorded and I'll be able to hear them wherever I'm at, right? And after a year, I'll be able to change my schedule, because because I don't do things for myself, and I don't even want the chance to do that, to make a decision anymore. I let God make all my decisions. So when they said they wanted to give me a job, they said, what hours would you like and what would you like to do? And I said, I would like to do whatever you want me to do. I said, if you have a place that you have problems keeping people, put me there. You can put me on whatever hours you want. Because if I pick them, then that's putting my will in there. If you pick them, that's God's will, you know? That's how I figure it. Or we could rip up some thing and pull it out of a hat. I don't really care. I just know that that's where I'm supposed to be. You know, I was at the halfway house for 3 years working there, and that's where I was supposed to be. I think if I would have graduated the halfway house and skipped back to my town, I don't even know if I'd be here. I definitely wouldn't be here standing in front of you guys with probably anything good to say, because I would have fell away. I needed a lot more time than just 6 months. You know, I created havoc for 23 years, and I can't just erase that. I can't change my life like I did in 6 months, you know, and I couldn't do any of it. God had to do it for me, and I had to hang out with him for 3.5 years before I realized all the great things. I knew it. I could see it coming, you know, because I prayed about it.
31.
And he answered. Yeah, it's probably 31,794 hours now because it just slipped. And that's all I got for you guys tonight.
Thank you
for listening.